인증. Stand up. Stand up.
Stand up. Stand up. Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We kick off Wednesday's show with Jonathan Mensah, the Ghanaian defender who recently lifted the Major League Soccer Cup as the captain of the Columbus Crew. At the international level, Jonathan also lifted the FIFA Under 20 World Cup in Egypt in 2009. With the Black Satellites of Ghana. And Jonathan has proudly represented the Black Stars of Ghana at the Senior FIFA World Cup and the Africa Cup of Nations. Yao Afusu-Larbi caught up with Jonathan Mensah in Accra for a wide-ranging conversation. Here's Yao.
You have had a good career progression. You've played for Ashanti Gold, for the Free State Stars, for Evian, for Angie, and now it's the Columbus Crew. What would you put your career progression down to?
Decent level right now. Obviously, as time goes on in your career, any career, you want to improve, you want to do better, you want to progress. So I'm grateful for my progression and hopefully even more to come.
You sort of found a home in America and in Ohio where you play at the moment. What do you make of the club, the Columbus Crew?
It's a big family, and I'm grateful to be part of this family. They really love the people that come around, not just to play football, but to live there, to work there. And Columbus is my second home now. The people are passionate about their club, their city, and I'm thankful that they've accepted me to be one of them. So thankful that I get to call that place home.
You're not just calling that place home. You're one of the leaders in the team, if not the ultimate leader of the team at the moment, as you were named captain. Now, what sort of responsibility does that put on your shoulders as captain of the Crew?
A lot. But I don't take all that. I accept all that, but I don't take all that on my shoulders because all the team, all the players on the team doing their best to help the team move forward. So even though I am with the armband, most of the guys, you know, got experience. They've played in the league for a while. They've played in other places for a while, so they know the role of a captain is really a tough job to put all on your shoulders. So they've really helped me, and that's why we all saw that the team was doing incredibly this season. So credit goes out to the boys.
The Crew won the MLS Cup most recently. How did that make you feel, knowing that you were a leader of the side that orchestrated that sort of momentous win for the side?
It was an incredible achievement for the club and for the community. Then it comes down to the team, because the community and the club has done so much for us to be able to have that particular moment, because the team was on the verge of leaving town, and the community and the fans and the club came together and saved the club. So for us to be able to now win a championship for a club that was almost gone, it's a great achievement for the team, but most importantly for the fans.
What does it mean for you also to play in the Major League Soccer? There are quite a number of people who have not so good things to say about the Major League Soccer, but you're there, you're thriving. What does it mean for you to be playing in there?
I'm just grateful to be part of a league where people keep talking about it. Because if there's nothing good there, I don't believe people will talk about it. So, but it doesn't matter what they say. You know, it's their opinion, and they have their rights to voice out their opinions. But at the end of the day, we all see the testament of what work the MLS is doing, and getting someone like Zlatan to come play there for a couple of years, and he's gone back to Europe doing well, you know, that should tell you there's something good happening there. So I'm just grateful to be part of it.
Right. Now, how competitive is it?
It is really competitive because for one of the best Ghanaian defenders ever to represent in the league, one of the best right backs ever for Ghana, in my opinion, Harrison Afful, to play there. You've gotten David Akam, one of the best talents in Ghanaian football ever. You've gotten the likes of Joseph Martinez, Carlos Vela. The list goes on.
Yeah.
I'm not the one to sit here to tell people what it's in the league. You know, they need to find out. They need to research themselves. And it's a great league, you know. So for me to be part of history, you know, just to be part of the players that played in the Major League Soccer is just enough for me. So I'm going to keep doing my best in the league, and hopefully a lot of people get the attention and what the league is about, and they can join in and also invest in it.
Right. Winning the MLS Cup is a great achievement, but looking at the crew, how far do you think that your team can go from here?
I believe the crew has established themselves as a championship team for years. But then it's been a while they won a championship. So us winning this one will ignite the strength of the team and the momentum of the team already, because, you know, we were one of the founders clubs. We were one of the teams that won it in the early stages. So now for us to win it again, it will boost the confidence of the fans, the society, and the organization itself, so that we do more, we invest more, and then, you know, the results will follow. So it's a blueprint that has been there already. It was just us to just reactivate it, and thankfully we did end of 2020.
Right. Now, looking at also the standard of Ghanaian players who play in the Major League Soccer, what would you make of first the Ghanaian players and also the African players who are playing in there? If you look at their levels, are they players who are worthy enough of flying high the flag of Africa?
Oh yeah, I believe most of the guys that plays in the league that are from other places in Africa, most of them plays in the India national teams. Someone like Kai Kamara, Azira, which Chicago Fire plays with Uganda, and you got a couple of other guys also that plays with Mauritania and all that. So, and talk of us, the Ghanaians. So it's a league that got all varieties of people from all backgrounds, from all other continents. So it's great to see that there are some Africans, and I urge other Africans to also do their research in the league and join the league, because it's an exciting league.
Right.
Yeah.
You're still part of the Black Star setup. It's been a while though, but what has been the communication between yourself and coach of the Ghanaian side, Siki Akona?
Funny enough, today I went on a breakfast or brunch with my wife, and I saw someone tap my back at 10, and it was the coach.
Okay.
He was like, hey, how you doing? I'm not going to talk much. I know you having your breakfast, so I'm just, we're going to catch up. I'll contact you, and then we're going to talk. But before then, he called me to congratulate me after we won the championship, and you know, we've communicated before, so it's great that he still always think about me, you know, talk with me. So hopefully whenever the time is right for him to invite me to join the team, I believe I will be part of the team. So I just need to keep doing my best with my club, and when the time is up, then I will be ready to come and help the team.
Yeah, you've been one of the most influential defenders for Ghana right through your time from 2009 when you won the the World Cup with the under 20 side all the way through. You've been to several African Cup of Nations and stuff, and now you are one of the senior players in the team. Looking at the team Ghana has now, is there a possibility of having another cup run like we've had in the past few years at AFCON?
Yeah, I believe it's more than just the players. Looking at 2017 when Cameroonian team won it, you could see they were just hungry. You know, it didn't matter who was on the team. What mattered was their commitment, their determination, and what their goal was. Their goal was to go all out, and we all saw what happened. So if we can have all the ingredients that we have, the tools that we have, you know, because right now, yeah, even though we have a lot of players, but when the coach calls a squad, that is a squad that is going to represent the country. So we just need to prepare very well. And the preparation doesn't just start when the tournament is a month away. It starts right after the last African Cup. So we need to put in work every time. And I believe, you know, preparation meets the big opportunity. So if we prepare very well, I don't believe it's going to be difficult, you know, because it's a tournament and things happen. But when you prepare, you know, you are able to deal with circumstances that comes your way. So we just need to prepare, you know, whilst you're with your club, you still, you know, you think about it a little bit, even though you're with your club side. And when the time comes, we will just continue to rig the flag of Ghana high.
That's Ghanaian defender Jonathan Mensah, the captain of the Major League Soccer champion Columbus Crew team. And Jonathan was talking with Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra, Ghana.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Jonathan Mensah and the Columbus Crew lifted the MLS Cup last month when they beat the visiting Seattle Sounders 3-0 in Columbus, Ohio. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, Prince Nesta looks back on the Crew winning the Cup. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Ghana's Emmanuel Boateng, Jonathan Mensah, and Harrison Afful, alongside Nigeria's Fernando Adi and Morocco's Younes Mokhtar, have won the 2020 Major League Soccer Cup with Columbus Crew after their 3-0 victory over Seattle Sounders. Ghana left-back Afful got the host off to a flying start by assisting Lucas Zelarayan for their opening goal in the 25th minute. Derek Etienne doubled the lead for the Crew in the 31st minute as Zelarayan bagged his brace 8 minutes from full-time. Saturday's triumph secured Columbus Crew's second Major League Soccer Cup, having clinched their first title in 2008. Here's coach Caleb Porter's take on the win.
I always like the underdog. I'm an underdog myself. I build my teams with underdogs as well, guys that, you know, maybe aren't the sexiest, biggest name, you know, highest paid guys, although Lucas Zelarayan today was the best player on the field, real difference maker. But I just told them that we were going to do it. You know, when you have a vision that's strong, when you assign a value to a goal, and you get a group of guys that buy into that, no one's going to stop us from getting there. And it started on the first day of preseason, and we never wavered. We weren't scared to say this was a goal, and we went after it. We attacked it, and we're a team, and it took different guys at different times to step up and get the job done.
That was Columbus Crew coach Caleb Porter's post-match press conference following his team's 3-0 victory over Seattle Sounders. As a reward for winning the Major League Soccer Cup, Columbus Crew becomes the fourth American top-flight club to qualify for the 2021 CONCACAF Champions League. They join supporters' Shield winners Philadelphia Union, MLS is back tournament winners Portland Timbers, In 2019 US Open Cup champions Atlanta United in the tournament, and Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. England's top flight football league, the Premier League, announced Tuesday that a total of 40 individuals tested positive for COVID-19 in two rounds of testing conducted last week. That's the highest number of cases in a week this season. And since the new season kicked off, 171 individuals in the Premier League have tested positive for the coronavirus in 19 rounds of testing. The league says it is now conducting COVID-19 tests twice a week. It did not name the people who tested positive, but said they will self-isolate for 10 days. In a statement, the Premier League said between December 28th and December 31st, 1,311 players and club staff were tested for COVID-19. Of these, there were 28 new positive tests. And between January 1st and January 3rd, 984 players and club staff were tested with 12 new positives. Last week, Fulham's matches at Burnley and Tottenham Hotspur were called off due to a COVID-19 outbreak at the West London club. And Manchester City's match at Everton was canceled due to fresh COVID-19 cases reported at Man City. Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced a new national COVID-19 lockdown on Monday due to surging infections in the country, but the Premier League will be allowed to continue with matches played without fans. Elsewhere, U.S. women's national soccer team star Alex Morgan says she tested positive for the coronavirus after traveling home to California for the Christmas holiday. The 31-year-old striker announced on Twitter that she and her family tested positive at the end of the year. She did not specify whether her 9-month-old daughter, Charlie, was one of the family members who tested positive. Alex Morgan recently finished a stint with Tottenham in the FA Women's Super League in England, where she played 4 matches while returning from maternity leave. Alex Morgan has scored 107 career goals for the U.S. women's national soccer team. And Alex helped the USA lift the Women's World Cup trophy in 2015 and 2019.
My name is Jean Seninde with Queen's Park Rangers Women and the Uganda national team. Listen to Sunny Side of Sport with Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to Ndombolo and Makossa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09.05 and 20.05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the football beat, Olympique Marseille is planning to open a school at the end of January in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the French club's head of international development, Laurent Collette.
Yes, we opened a new school in Port Harcourt in Nigeria. It's the first unit we opened in Nigeria after having opened units in North Africa, especially in Algeria and Tunisia. And we are extremely glad and honored to open this unit because Nigeria is a fantastic country for football with a lot of players. Some of them have also played for Marseille. Let's remember Taiwo Oruma playing during many years with us. So we are happy to create this connection. Very important to mention and to state that this school is not an academy. It's not meant to select very specifically very good players. We want to open this school for every kid wanting to participate. The idea is to make the kid in front of the Olympique de Marseille methodology and also values to make sure that every kid has a chance to enjoy football techniques also, and to become an adult, become a human being, thanks to all the values conveyed by football. So it's important to say that because, of course, we will create some levels among kids, and also, of course, if there is a fantastic player that we detect in this school, of course, we will give this player the opportunity to grow and to have more chance to become a professional player. But that's not the aim. The aim is really a contact between Nigerian kids and Olympique de Marseille methodology. We want to state that our methodology is designed by our top coaches, and we follow this kind of school very closely with technical director on site. So the idea is really to be close to our kids and to be sure that we don't give a name and a logo and we leave and bye-bye.
Do you have similar schools in other parts of Africa? Have you been using players from such schools?
Yes, as previously mentioned, we already opened schools in North Africa, in Algeria and Tunisia. And at this moment, some schools have been a bit closed due to COVID. Unfortunately, the virus is affecting also the activity in our schools, but it will come back very quickly, I hope. As I said, also, the idea is not to fuel our academy at Marseille with kids coming from these schools. These schools are open for kids, for every kid, and the purpose is to play together, to have fun together, to learn values, to learn how football can improve their education and so on, but it's not some kind of elite program. It's not a selection where we want to have one, two, three top players we could then send to our academy. Of course, if one day there is a good player, we will watch him very carefully, but that's once again not the purpose. It's meeting all the kids together around the same methodology, and so they can have fun. You know, when you are a kid, you are not in obligatory in a selection attitude. You want to have fun and to become friends with others and to learn. So that's exactly our intention. So we don't want to use any players from the schools. We just want to give in our best methodology what we know and to share that with Nigerian educators.
What's your assessment of young African players? Do you think Africa has potentials to produce stars like Leo Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yes, I absolutely believe that there's a strong potential of Africa in the future of football. Olympique de Marseille's past has been glorious because there was a lot of African players giving some their assistance and their contribution to the past. And remember, for example, Didier Drogba or Abedi Pelé or Basile Boli. Basile and Abedi were when Marseille won the Champions League in 93. And also some Nigerian players such as Taiwo and Oruma played at Olympique de Marseille. And for us, we think that it's very positive also to have African talents within our team. Whether someday there will be an African, Nigerian Messi or Ronaldo, of course. I mean, in the past, a lot of very good African players have been to the top, such as Eto, Mila, Kanu, for example, from Nigeria. I remember Okocha, that's personal souvenir. And the chance now that they are scouted and they can play in very best of clubs and also in their selection, and the African selections are very strong. We see that in every World Cup. So there's undoubtedly a potential. I believe in Africa. We believe in Africa. Olympique de Marseille believes in Africa, and Marseille Marseille as a city has always been turned towards Africa. We are a port, and there have been hundreds of years of relationship between Africa and Marseille. So we've got that in our blood. So we believe in football as well, and we think that it's important to help African countries, or to exchange, because we don't have to only to, we are not here to give lessons, but to exchange together, to improve and to give this, what we know, to these kids in our schools where they can enjoy and practice football.
That's Laurent Collette, the head of international development for the French football club Olympique Marseille. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Marseille, France.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
America's top college football prize, the Heisman Trophy, has been awarded to University of Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith. The AP's Mike Moriarty reports from New York.
Alabama's Devontae Smith became the first wide receiver to win the Heisman Trophy in 29 seasons. He was presented with the award in a virtual ceremony due to the pandemic. Smith has 105 catches and 22 total touchdowns as the senior heads into the national championship game against Ohio State Monday night.
It's very important, just because the two main reasons I came back was to get my degree and to win another national championship. So I've checked one box. I'm just trying to check the other one now.
The Louisiana native Smith finished with 447 first-place votes. Clemson's Trevor Lawrence came in second, while Alabama teammate quarterback Mac Jones rounded out the top three. Smith is the third Alabama player to win the Heisman, all since 2009, joining running backs Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry. Mike Moriarty, New York.
Thanks, Mike. Also in New York, the Brooklyn Nets routed the visiting Utah Jazz Tuesday night in a National Basketball Association game. The AP's Mike Mancuso reports from New York.
The Brooklyn Nets exploded out of the gate with a 35-point first quarter on their way to a 130-96 win over the Jazz. The Nets were without Kevin Durant, who was in quarantine after exposure to someone who has COVID, so the spotlight landed on Kyrie Irving, and he responded with 29 points. Jared Allen was a beast. The center scored 19 points with 18 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. He loved the fast start.
You know, we still wanted to still play our defensive way, but we went out there and played hard, we all had each other's backs. We all were ready to go.
Donovan Mitchell had 31 for the Jazz. They managed only 14 points in the first period and never mounted any type of comeback. Mike Mancuso, New York.
Thanks, Mike. Now let's go to Los Angeles, where the San Antonio Spurs snapped a 4-game losing streak with a 3-point victory against the host, Los Angeles Clippers. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
After seeing their 24-point lead disappear, the Spurs regrouped in the fourth quarter to beat the Clippers 116-113. Kawhi Leonard missed a last-second three-pointer that could have sent the game to overtime. San Antonio was led by Patty Mills, 27 points. DeJounte Murray scored 21 and then dished out praise to teammate DeMar DeRozan for defending the shot from Leonard.
He did a hell of a job. He got to have his arms up and you know, contest a shot by a really great player, and the shot went out. We got the rebound. We won the game.
Leonard finished with 30 points. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Meanwhile, the other NBA team based in Los Angeles, the reigning champion Los Angeles Lakers, fared better Tuesday night, edging the host Memphis Grizzlies 94-92. LeBron James and Anthony Davis led the Lakers with 26 points each. The Lakers have a record of 6 wins and 2 losses early in the NBA season, while the Grizzlies have 2 victories and 5 defeats. Finally, the NBA is adopting a tougher policy regarding masks, telling the league's 30 teams that players on the active roster will have to wear face coverings in the bench area until they enter games. The memo was released on Monday, the same day the Brooklyn Nets ruled All-Star forward Kevin Durant out for a game against Utah, in accordance with the NBA's COVID-19 policies. Among the new rules, all players and coaches must wear face masks outside the team environment if they are around other players and coaches, And players must report the names of any private trainer, therapist, chiropractor, or other specialist who they work with outside of the team facility. It's the latest update to a coronavirus plan the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association are continuing to evaluate, especially lately, given the continued uptick in cases after the holiday season. And that wraps up the January 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.